Welcome to Understanding Your Inner Leader, right? This is about exploring the 8 attributes of healthy self-leadership. So you guys should have a wheel in front of you through the handouts. What we're going to do is go through, I'm going to give you kind of the definitions of each one of these things. And what I'm going to have you do is kind of rate where you feel like you are on that. Now you may want to, and this is the way I did it the very first time I did this, is I listened to the definitions and I wrote down, I had 2 columns. And on the left, I wrote down the things that I did well. When I heard the words, I was like, oh, I do that. I approach others well with an open mind. But then on the right column, I put the things that I needed as growth opportunities, right? Like I don't do that as well. So just know you're going to receive these words in detail in a document as well. So you can take more time doing it later. But that's the way I did it the first time. And then I went through and marked, I'm about 50% in this one, right? Or I'm higher in this area. I'm super low in this area. So that's what I did with this when I first did it. So that's what I'm going to do first is I'm going to read you the definitions of that. Now, I do want to say that this is based on Dr. Richard Swartz. It's called the Internal Family Systems Model. And it offers kind of a profound framework of self-leadership because it enables us to kind of navigate life's complexities. It gives us greater clarity, compassion, and confidence. People that have these 8 C's, and nobody's perfect in it. Some weeks we're better than others at this. In some situations, like I can be a great leader in my home, but I'm growing my confidence or my compassion or whatever in this particular work environment, right? So you're a leader in different areas of your life. So that would be your double click is do this the first time thinking of a particular area of leadership you want to focus on, where you have influence. Because that's all, a leader is someone that has influence in a realm. So we're all a leader somewhere. And so you may want to do it first in your career and then later in your family. Because I find that people chart a little bit differently. Okay, so I want to be able to go over that with you. And if we have time, obviously, we'll have some discussion with those of you that are on live. But of course, if you're listening to the recording, I would love, in addition, for you to give some comments in the portal of what stood out to you or if there was an aha for you. So with that being said, we're going to go through these. Now, they may not be in order of the wheel. So forgive me because I'm not with our technical problems this morning. I'm not able to look at the wheel and go in exact order of the circle. But I'm going to read you these definitions and then you can, do the 2 columns, or you may be the person that you're just going to listen to the same thing. And then how you, sorry, I just saw Belinda's. I'm not used to this system of doing it on the phone. Belinda said she's confused about self-leadership. Yes, this is how we lead ourselves and therefore how we would then lead a team. But it's about how we self-lead. But you'll see through the questions and definitions, it's also how we also, in addition, will then lead others. Because how we lead ourselves, you guys, by the way, is often how we'll lead others. It reflects. So great question. So remember, 2 columns on the left, you're going to write as I read, you can write what you do well. You're like, oh, that would go on the left. On the right, things that are growth opportunities or you feel like you don't do well. Okay. The second is, and or you can just do this where you listen to the whole definition. That may be better for the way your brain works. And you just rate yourself. Don't overthink it. Just rate yourself after you've heard the whole definition. And then you can go back and double click and pull it apart if you want to. Okay. And I'm purposely not giving you the words first for those of you that are on live in the document because people tend to overthink it. So just close your eyes, for a minute. You can listen, but if you hear a word that you're like, oh, that's good. I do that well. I have work to do on that. If something really stands out to you, put them in the columns. If not, just listen overall. And then mark where you feel like you are. And you can always come back and rate it later if you want to. And we'll discuss it when we're done. Okay. So with that being said, I'm going to Sorry. And by the way, if you don't have the handout, if for some reason you're listening to this and you don't have the handout, just write the core word that I'm going to say. And that will give you, because all the handout is a circle that has all eight of these in the circle with a rating scale for you. Right. So that's, you can do that even without having the handout in front of you. I think the handout just gives a greater view. Okay. So let's jump in. So the first one I'm going to do is curiosity. So if you need to jot that down or find it on your will, curiosity. Okay, so curiosity invites us to approach ourselves and others with an open mind and a willingness to explore. So do you have an open mind and a willingness to explore? By cultivating curiosity, we can delve deeper into layers of our being. So are you curious about yourself? And uncover hidden motivations, desires, and fears. So I always say on this one, if you have a negative reaction to something, do you just beat yourself up and create a narrative, or do you get curious? Do you say, that was interesting the way I reacted. Where else in life have I felt that way? Or that's interesting the way I responded. That wasn't my best self. Why may that be? What other stressors was I dealing with? That would be an example of curiosity. So do you have an open mind and a willingness to explore? Do you delve deeper into layers of your being? Do you get curious about hidden motivations, desires, or fears? Okay, so another example is a way we could ask ourselves, what's the underlying need or belief that's driving my reaction? What's the underlying need or belief that's driving my reaction? That kind of curiosity allows us to gain insight. And of course, that then in self-leadership makes us more effective in decision-making, problem-solving, and reacting, and taking good care of ourselves when there's an emotional situation to ask the deeper question, what do I need, right? If I'm angry, if there's a heightened feeling, double clicking and saying, what do I need? Where would you rate yourself if you want to rate yourself in curiosity? The next one I'm going to approach is compassion. Compassion involves extending kindness, understanding, and empathy towards ourselves. When we embrace self-compassion, we create a safe space for our internal kind of sub-personalities to express themselves authentically. So if any of you remember, right, we all have a child inside of us. We have a warrior or defender, and then that adult. How are we caring for those when we say sub-personalities? You're going to hear in a future training about the exile of who we are, that's that person that we don't feel like we fit in. The manager, which is our front facing, this is who I put forward to protect the vulnerable part of me. And the firefighter, you know, who comes in and it's very similar to the defender that takes care of me. So do you show kindness and understanding and empathy towards that inner self of you and deal with it authentically? So when we acknowledge and accept our vulnerabilities, we foster resilience and emotional well-being. Okay, through self-compassion, we can also cultivate empathy and compassion towards others. And that fosters a healthier relationships with ourselves and others and makes us more effective leaders. So I'm going to give you an example of this. It just happened to me this weekend. I always have to say, I've got to be careful what I teach, because I always get tested before I teach. So we just had an incredible event here at the ranch. Our board came in and some special guests, potential board member. And we had a situation like radical, amazing, wonderful things were happening. And I kept pointing out, especially for the newer people, like where God was moving and things like you couldn't have tried to make that happen if you tried to orchestrate it. It just was too complex. No one could have made that happen. And one of the men that this happened was super, super high powered guy in the world, does amazing, amazing things, amazing person, right? Really huge heart, amazing guy. And the last thing actually involved him and confirmed like a lot of things that, and again, we couldn't have, he did something that had to do with sign language. And he didn't know that the literally the Sunday before I had had somebody that I asked to do worship in sign language. But what I didn't know is she 3 months before had commissioned somebody to paint a picture of sign language of the word hope, somebody's hands forming the word hope. And it was a painting of the hands in sign language with hope. And it was like, he had no clue, right? Like it was like, whoa, this amazing moment. And he said, nobody has more stories than Catherine, right? And he meant that as a compliment. But the little girl inside of me immediately got triggered and felt like he was diminishing or making fun of me because of something my dad said to me when I was a little girl. So even talking about it right now, you guys, my ears are getting hot, right? That embarrassment of be less to make other people feel better. Like, and what a friend of mine that has known this guy for a long, long time said, he doesn't like attention on him, even though he's super high powered. And he was a part of that sacred moment. And he always tends to kind of self-deprecate in moments where God is using him. He makes it funny or a joke because he's learning how to handle being used as an instrument in God's hand like that. But I took it as a dig towards me, even though that was not the case at all. So in that moment, right, I had to have compassion on myself for having the reaction. Because honestly, you guys, I wanted to cry and leave the room. I felt like a little girl again, because here's this powerful man, a little bit older than me, that had that moment. And instead, I had compassion on that little girl and me in the moment. I was able to self-lead myself through the emotion. What do you need? You need to tell yourself the truth. Get curious. Where else in life have you felt this way? Because you're having a high emotional reaction. And this was all in seconds because I've practiced this process. And it's like, oh, that was the dad thing. So I was able to smile and nod and get through that, even though that undercurrent of conversation was happening for myself in that moment. But I was able to self-lead myself in that moment and tell myself the truth. Okay, so that's an example of curiosity and compassion coming together in self-leadership. Okay, the next one is clarity. We're going to rate clarity. Clarity is the ability to see ourselves and our situation with clarity and objectivity. It involves stepping back from our automatic reactions and observing our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. So I got clarity because I got curious and had self-compassion. So I was able to give the clarity to the situation. By the way, this also has to do with giving clarity to course correct ourselves if we made a mistake, by telling ourselves the truth that we failed or we didn't handle it well and going and apologizing. Because honestly, in that moment, I could have not gotten clarity. I could have cried. I could have went out of the room. I could have gotten offended. I could have shrank and said, okay, never mind. Like, I could have really fumbled in that moment. And I may have had to have gone back and said, wow, you haven't grown enough in this area. So that's a place of clarity. And maybe I need some counseling. Right. So just know there, that is a real thing. All leaders, even at some high level, I've worked with incredible people that lead huge teams. They're super successful, but we all have to practice this self-leadership. Right. So that clarity, again, I'm going to say it's the ability to see ourselves or our situation with clarity and objectivity. It involves stepping back from our automatic reactions and observing our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. So by practicing this mindfulness and self-reflection, you guys, we can gain clarity on our values, our goals, and our priorities. So this could be somebody, just 2 weeks ago had somebody, was cut to try to come into my virtual franchise business. And this person had been convinced to get on the call. They really didn't want to. but the person that invited them is very persistent. So they placated, got on the call, and were super negative the entire time. Well, my values say, I don't want anybody in my team that I have to convince to be a part of my team. That's a value that I have. So to be honest, in the call, I was a little defensive. If I'm honest, I was like, you know, not, you know, hey, I didn't know you didn't want to be on this call. We do not have to continue on anymore. I will never convince anybody, but I had a little bit of an attitude, right? So again, I have to have compassion and curiosity, but I was defending what we do for a living, but also defending that person that got them on the call because I felt like they were being rude to that person. So that defender rose up on their behalf, but it was because my values, I had the clarity that my values were getting pushed against. So when we practice the mindfulness and self-reflection, we can gain clarity, right, on our values, goals, and priorities. What do we really want? Another example is like in a high-pressure work environment, taking a moment to reflect and gain clarity on the purpose and the values that help us make decisions that align with our authentic self so that when it's high pressure, we're able to operate at our best. But we may need to go back later and get curious and say, do I want to live in the high pressure thing if this is always the way this role is going to be? So gaining clarity, you can see how these are in a wheel because they can all touch and build on each other. So looking at where your growth opportunities are, where you do well, and then being able to rate yourself. The next one is courage. Courage is the willingness to step out of our comfort zone. So that would be a left or right column. How comfortable are you and willing are you to step out of your comfort zone, take bold actions that specifically align with our values and aspirations? So this is the part that embraces vulnerability and facing our fears. Because I'll be honest with you, when this guy got invited, it was super courageous of me to say yes, have him come, because he's a high capacity leader, which put me in a very vulnerable state because this is my first go around at leading a nonprofit. And he has a ton of experience in leading leaders of companies and leading leaders of nonprofits. And all I could think, that vulnerable side of me, is he's going to expose all of my weaknesses. Everybody else loves me. They've known me for years. They know my heart. He's coming in fresh, just seeing me. And I had to decide that I was going to be vulnerable and face my fear because it was a greater asset to the ministry to have him come and embrace what we do if it was a match than it would be for me to just self-protect. So that was self-leadership. Be courageous. Embrace vulnerability. Face your fear. So another example of having courage is like when an individual starts to pursue a career and you're going to change it into a new career, despite social expectations, right? There's all these societal expectations and even our own personal doubts. So when I started my virtual franchise, a home-based business, you know, that was not something that everybody did. And what about you? Where is a place in your life that maybe this is the career? I had a guy that was a really, really high defense attorney. I mean, unbelievably successful. But his values were that if you did something wrong, you should pay a price for that. But he was able to get anybody off, even if they were guilty. And he was miserable and did not realize that. Well, it was a huge societal pressure for him to step down and become a prosecutor and to shift what he was doing. He does a ton of pro bono work, makes a lot less money. And it was a time where he had to have courage. But when we embrace courage, we expand our horizons, we embrace growth, we leave the space to grow more, and we inspire others to do the same. So if you're leading a team, when we get vulnerable and we face our fears, it gives them permission to do the same. So as you rate yourself, your willingness to step out of your comfort zone, to take bold action, to embrace vulnerability, face your fears, and being able to do something that you know is important to you despite societal expectations. That's self-leadership. That's courage. The next one is calmness. Calmness refers to cultivating a sense of inner peace and tranquility. Key, even in the face of adversity. So, you know, look, as you're thinking about this, do you have a general inner peace and tranquility? And then up the game, do you have it in adversity when adversity comes? And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a good switch things up on me. Again, I'm going to give you an example of, we were just at this this event, and all of a sudden a suggestion came, which I loved, but somebody wanted to do something outdoors with a big group of people. There's, you know, in kind of the woods, which means there's, right, mosquitoes and other bugs, because we're in Texas with lots of nature around us. And all of a sudden, in a moment, I loved the idea, but that doesn't sound like adversity. But for my personality, that's adversity. That's changing the plan on the dime with a lot of complexities. Like, do we have bug spray? Do we have natural bug spray for the people that need that? How are we going to get over to that part of the land? Because then it's terrain and cars. And I mean, there was a million things. And so that adversity sometimes is situational, not just relational. Sometimes it's learning to push against adversity of creating a priority plan or creating a daily rhythm in what you do, because you, quote unquote, that's not me. But can you face adversity? Can you face a change? Can you face relational challenges and stay calm and remain to have an inner peace and tranquility? I'm not good at that immediately, but I can come to it quickly. And I know for me, what it takes is I have to talk it out with somebody. So I pulled my chair of the board. I was like, yes, we will do that. You guys give me like 10 minutes. We're going to strategize. In my inner turmoil, I was not calm. I did not have a sense of inner peace or tranquility, but I had a plan to get it. So I called my chair of my board. Some of you may know Dr. Kathy Crockett or seen her in the mentor's corner. I pulled her in the other room and I talked through it with her. I was like, okay, I'm freaking out. So I was able to expose my vulnerability and say, I need help to talk this out. She said, how can I help you? I said, I have no idea. And then she said, what are the things that are swirling? I told her, And that got my inner peace and tranquility, right? So I didn't have it immediately, but I knew the plan to get it because I have gotten curious and compassion and gotten clarity in the past when I needed to be courageous to do something out of the norm. Okay, so this involves developing emotional regulation skills and practicing self-care. So for some of you, and other times in my life, it's just breathing. Right? In through my nose, hold, out through my mouth. It calms my biology when a change comes quickly. Sometimes three is key for your biology, and that's all you need. Three deep breaths, your biology settles down, you get centered to that place of peace and tranquility, and you're able to then, right, get curious to shift. So when we nurture calmness, you guys, we can respond rather than react to stressful situations. We can foster effective communication when we are self-leading ourselves this way, and we can have good conflict resolution. So again, a leader that remains calm during a crisis can inspire confidence and guide others to practice and move towards productive solutions. It's hilarious, you guys, because I'm having to do it right now. I don't know if you hear that beeping in the background, but my lights and the electricity keeps flashing on and off. And so I'm having to go from dark to my phone on my cell phone using the chat. But I don't know if you guys noticed, those of you before we started recording, we've got this big storm. Julie, right, was the one that helped me cultivate calmness to get clarity and get curious about other solutions. And maybe you guys were working together about how to figure that out. But, you know, I'm even being tested as we're going through this to stay calm and keep moving on. So how would you rate yourself there? And remember, this is all growth opportunity. This isn't about, oh my gosh, I'm not a good leader, or I don't have good self-leadership. No, it's where's my opportunity to grow? And I'm going to encourage all of you to choose one to focus on and go, this week, I'm going to focus on this one and I'm going to practice the process and I'm going to find my place and I'm going to be courageous as we continue to move on. Remember, it's not about all of it. It's about stepping out enough to test yourself and practicing the process. That's what actually brings the self-leadership skills, because you can think about it in concept, but it's not until you're actually doing it concretely that the brain has the experience, your biology responds, and then you get to learn and practice the process. And that's how you strengthen your self-leadership abilities. Okay, the next one is confidence. Confidence involves trusting your abilities, skills, and intuition. Oh, you guys, if I could ask you to just do that one for a week. Listen to who you are, how God made you. And if you have that personal relationship with the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit, secret ingredient here, to guide you, to give you the answers. Okay, it involves trusting our abilities, skills, and intuition. And I would even write for secret ingredient, which is my personal faith, trusting the Lord to give you direction and answer. And trusting that if there isn't clarity, but it's time to move, that he goes with you wherever you go. So trusting our abilities, skills, and intuition, it's about acknowledging our strengths and celebrating our accomplishments. So by building self-confidence, we can take on challenges and have a sense of self-assuredness. I've done it before, I can do it again. Again, that's why I said yes to this weekend. It's why I was willing to stretch, because I had to do that when I was building my virtual franchise that allows me to do the work we do here. Over and over and over, I got myself out of my comfort zone to do things that what I wasn't comfortable with against societal norms. Little did I know I was building the financial mechanism that would support me being able to do the work that I do and be prepare me to lead myself so I can lead you. And I can't tell you what a privilege that is. And I am not perfect. I hope you guys all see Catherine is not perfect. So if she is still self-leading herself and learning because of curiosity, right? And she still can lead us. If you receive anything positive out of this, if I influence you in any way, I hope what that tells you is you can do that for others too. So this could be a student that believes that they're in their capability, they're going to be more likely to tackle a difficult assignment or persevere through an obstacle because they have that confidence. So where do you rate yourself there? The next one is creativity. Creativity is the capacity to think outside the box, generate innovative ideas. Innovative just simply means they work. Maybe not all of them work, but you find one that does. And you approach problems with a fresh perspective. Like, I don't always have to solve this way. Is there another way to solve it? So this involves embracing curiosity, just like we talked about before, that other part of self-leadership, and embracing diverse viewpoints, that there's not just one way, there may be multiple ways. And that first starts in our internal part of us. So let me give you an example of this. So this weekend, I had the privilege of working with one of our young women that's in our intern program at the Hope Home. And she and I are going through a equine facilitated leadership program where we're going to be able to help when people come to the ranch, if they want to sign up for extra to have an equine experience. So an experience with a horse, because horses are super in tune with our feelings and the way that we're designed. And I'm going to actually take you guys in a future. I can even do this virtually by telling you how horses work and how they might be reacting or responding when you tell me what your feeling is. It's really super cool. So it was so neat to sit there. Me and this young woman are learning this together, side by side. We are equals as we're learning and going through this. Now, I have my coaching experience, right, for 28 years. So I took the lead, but I included her voice to be able to be creative, to bring in another viewpoint. Like, I'm not threatened by another way of doing something. And you guys, this was, it was such a profound experience, because you have somebody walk through a physical maze and you say to the left, they've given you a decision they need to make. And they're very clear. They can have things remain the same, or they have another decision that has been put in front of them. So that would be to the left. But what we say in creativity, tapping into curiosity and creativity, is what about to the right? Is there another option you haven't thought of? That's creativity. It's curiosity, but it's out of the box. It's not just general curiosity. It's think of something you've never thought of before, right? That's generating curiosity. And I am amazed doing this with people, how often they will say, well, I only have two options. I only have two options. But you get them out there moving their body prayerfully, right? Because we run it with prayer as well. And all of a sudden, when they're in their physical body and they look to the right, they see another option that they never considered before. That's creativity, right? So this could also be a leader who encourages creativity within their team, because they know that it is creative to ask for other people's ideas. And that fosters an environment of innovation and continuous improvement. So you first have to be willing to be creative, because that's your self-leadership. And then you allow other people to be creative too. Now, quick note on that one. Thinking outside the box and generating innovative ideas are brain wiring. When I do the Highlands brain wiring testing, there's people that are wired a little bit more to think out of box than others. And there are people that are wired to generate more ideas, not better ideas, but more ideas given a stimulant, that some of us, when we're given a stimulus, we can come up with 2 to 3 ideas given a stimulus. Others can come up with, 3 to 5 to 7 ideas. And there's others that when given a stimulus, they can come up with 7 plus, 20, 30, they'll just keep going. You probably know what that is with you, but just be open to even the 1 or 2 new ideas. That's creativity. Whether you get lots of them or just only a few, but then being open to diverse viewpoints of other people is key in this. And that's self-leadership, because the self part of that is open to other people's perspectives. So where would you put yourself in that? The next one and final one is connectedness. Connectedness emphasizes the importance of building authentic, keyword, authentic relationships and fostering a sense of belonging. So are you authentic with yourself, you guys? And do you feel like you belong to yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you bond with yourself? Are you always beating yourself up? Because we first have to be connected to ourselves and be authentic with ourselves so that we can then foster a sense of belonging with self. And then we get to open up to others. So that then begins to involve valuing and respecting the perspective of others, not just listening to them and being open, right, in creativity, but then valuing them. When we nurture connectedness with ourselves, and then we feel secure to feel connectedness with other people, that creates supportive networks and collaboration. So this is a leader who actively listens to themselves, honors themselves, right, through that confidence, and they feel connected to their own values and viewpoints, and then they're able to do the same with others. And that creates and fosters an inclusive and high-performing team culture. So what are some of those words that fit in the two columns? And then where would you rate yourself? Anyway, super, super excited to hear where you guys are. I'm going to go ahead and open it up for questions. I know it's a little bit of a thing. I'm going to look at the chat. So if that is a strength with others, is that a reflection of self-compassion? I'm not sure what I was talking about that at that time, Cindy. So I don't know if you want to unmute and ask me that in context now that we're done.
Yeah, so I am like, that is definitely one of my strengths. So if I display compassion, like to the extreme compassion, like I hurt for people, is that a sign that I am compassionate, self-compassionate?
Not necessarily. Okay. So that is an excellent question.
Okay.
Sometimes, and that's the, you guys, that's the exile part that I'm going to go deeper with you guys on later in this internal family system. So Julie, I'm going to save that for another call. So as we do handouts and stuff, we're going to double click on that later. But what I want to share with you is sometimes it's the exile in us, meaning we don't feel like we belong. We don't feel like people get us. We don't feel like that. So we're uber self-compassionate on others while forgetting ourselves.
Hmm.
Okay. So is it a reflection? Absolutely can be. No question. I'm compassionate with myself. Therefore, I'm compassionate with others. In the healthy version, 100%, that can be it. But if you find yourself where you're more compassionate with others than you are for yourself or in yourself, that could mean that you somewhere in you, that you know, child part or that exile, where maybe somewhere else in life you did not fit in, you did not feel like, you know, that you were okay, you were trying to get attention that you weren't able to receive from an absent parent or leader, whatever it could be, you may show a ton of self-compassion to others, but not for yourself. So that's coming from a wounded place. It's not necessarily bad. It's right. You're using it, what happened for bad, for good, pain for purpose, but you definitely want to have that opportunity to grow your self-leadership. Because then what I have seen, this is, I don't have data or science to, but I do have 28 years of working with people where I have seen that people that are self-compassionate, more self-compassionate with others than they are for themselves, sometimes will build an internal resentment. And the message becomes, why isn't there anybody there for me? I'm there for everybody else. And that's true. And it's beautiful. But the twist in the wound is, but nobody's there for me. No one's compassionate. No, I don't belong. Nobody's doing for me what I'm doing for others. When we're healed from that, with that chatter doesn't exist. So excellent question, Cindy.
And then would I just like respond to that with like curiosity? Why would I feel like what's driving
absolutely
the reaction?
Exactly. What else? What I love this question. Where else in life have I felt this way? Right. Or where else in life have I lacked compassion from others that I then maybe internalized to not give self-compassion to myself?
Mm-hmm.
And pay attention to your feelings. When you are not self-compassionate with yourself, how are you feeling? Are you angry? Are you beating yourself up? Are you sad and crying? And what are those feelings then telling you need? Because that's the wound. That's where somebody probably when you were a child or feel like an exile, that's where that place is the place to heal and be kind to yourself.
Okay. I love that.
And show yourself compassion in that very place.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Excellent question. And Belinda, I love that right after that, I was just a good question, Cindy. I think I have more compassion for others than I give myself. So we just walked through that. Me too. I love Lisa said, wow. Mary said, I don't know if your wow would have to do with that, but I'm seeing a lot of that's me, much more compassion with others. Good thing I double clicked on that one with you guys. I love it. Love it. Thank you, Allie. Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Catherine Nadine. She always, that's our little thing. She calls me Catherine Nadine, which means pure hope. That's why she does that from the book of why pure hope is pure hope. I love Sean saying, right, I'm not good at flying by the seat of my pants either, right? Definitely a planner here. And so for those of us that are that way, the question I always ask myself is this my brain wiring and healthy and strategic, right? That's healthy. Or am I trying to control because I'm afraid? Right. And that's where, like in that moment where I kind of freaked out at this meeting that we had, I had to go, okay, am I freaking out because I'm trying to control? No, not at all. I was super, super excited to do. It was just the strategist in me couldn't figure out how we were going to make it happen. So I had to reach out to a tool, right? Which in that case was a person. For me, it's often to talk it out. Then I can figure it out and then I can do it. But it wasn't about control for me. It was strategy. I needed to figure the strategy out. And that's why I was having more of an emotional reaction. Excellent. Thank you for that comment, Sean. So that teaching. I love Cindy. I do my best to plan and then wing it. And that's, it's funny. That's a foundational pillar of the way we run our ministry is we prayerfully plan. Then we got to give God precedence over the plan and allow that, right, wing it part to happen. So love that. I need to talk things out too. It says SE. That's Shannon, I bet, Erickson. Love that. And then Mary, emotional regulation skills. I need that for my son, ADHD. Absolutely. That's a key connection, Mary. And finding tools. It's not just that person, quote unquote, needs it. It's their brain is made and wired for other gifting. So they just need the tool for that, to help that. I really love that. I love the three breaths. I use it all the time. So thank you that I'm awesome in the midst of adversity. Okay. Did I miss anything? I know we're a little over time because we had the challenges. So, I just want to give a quick minute for any final questions or comments.
Catherine, I got to hop off and I think it might stop the recording. But I have to be in another meeting. So
okay. I'm going to ahead and stop the recording and I'll just stay on it for anybody being able to do that. And I would love for you guys, I love what Shannon did, where she put her ratings in, whether that you guys put that in the Facebook so we can give suggestions. Like if somebody's low in something, we can tell our stories to each other of how we encourage those things. So thank you, Julie. If you want to stop the recording, we're good. You're the best. Thank you for helping me figure this out today.